Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. I am overjoyed to be joined by the one, the only, Jim Nagy. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. 18 years as an NFL scout, including with your Green Bay Packers. Started as an intern with the Green Bay Packers in 1996. Jim, it is great to have you on. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, Andy, great to be on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it a ton. I know how busy you are. Let me just ask you a couple things really simple before we jump into some of these or all of these like Packers picks from the Senior Bowl. First of all, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Just kind of tell our listeners really quick what that entails and what your responsibilities are.
I'll try to be as brief as possible. Basically, from a football perspective, I'm responsible for putting all those players on the field and getting them going in the draft process. So it's a, you know, a year round thing. We've got this year, we had 11 former NFL scouts on our staff. It's a big responsibility, you know, to bring the players the NFL wants to see. That's why they're a part of our process as well. Those guys in Green Bay, John Eric and Milt and Goody, those guys are great to us. You know, helping us out in our process. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot more business related stuff as well. But on a football side, it's making sure we bring the best players we possibly can to Mobile every year.
And let me kind of follow up that by asking, you know, why is the Senior Bowl in your eyes so important to these players and so important to NFL evaluators? You can tell a lot of the teams seem to very much value a lot of these players that are attending the Senior Bowl. So in your eyes, why is that so important?
Well, it's a few things, man. I think there's a lot of value in this week, and that's why this job has been easy for me in the sense of selling it, because I was coming down here for basically 25 years before I took this job, and I saw the value in it from a team's perspective. So, like, even if a guy's going to be a first round pick, which we had 10 of them this year, you know, to be in front of Brian Gutekunst for a week, you know, and Matt, like guys like LaFleur, I mean, that's big. You know, these scouts are all on the road in the fall, you know, putting a lot of great work and talking to a lot of people at these schools. But, you know, to me, it's a lot more impactful for these decision makers if they get to see them up close themselves and spend time with them. I mean, again, we're all just human, right? We're all trying to surround ourselves with people we're familiar with and get to know people. And that's what Senior Bowl week is all about. So even if you think you're a first round draft pick on the field, talent wise, you know, just the connections you can make down here with the NFL guys is huge. And then, you know, if you're a mid-level player, like a MAC level player like Quinyon Mitchell this year from Toledo, and you know, you're a great player in that league, but you need to, you know, prove yourself against better competition. That's a huge part of our game, all the way down to the small school guys. And you know, the interview, it's not just the on-field reps going good on good. It's also, you know, the interview stuff and all the interview time and the connections being made so early in the process. I mean, if you meet with a team down here in Mobile in late January, by the time you get to April, there's a lot more connection points. And being here is just, it's going to make your combine experience easier. It's going to make pro day easier, just because you're going to have so much more familiarity with the NFL people.
Yeah, and any you know, additional opportunity you get to showcase yourself is never a bad thing, especially in front of that many scouts and evaluators. Green Bay seems to take that Senior Bowl process incredibly seriously, because they tend to draft a lot of players that attend the Senior Bowl. They did that again this year, drafting 8 players overall from their 11-person draft class that did attend the Senior Bowl. So just kind of want to run these down for you. Jordan Morgan, first of all, their first-round pick. You defined him as a slam-dunk left tackle. What did you guys see out of Jordan Morgan?
I mean, he was easy. You know, for us, we're not drafting these players. We're trying to figure out if they're good enough to be in our game or not. Jordan was pretty simple. I didn't have to spend a lot of time watching Jordan Morgan tape, but we've been watching him for a couple of years now, because he could have come out last year before he suffered that ACL. So we were ready to, you know, pull the trigger last year. He got hurt right around the time we were sending invites out. So, no, he's been on the radar for a long time. I mean, you pop on the tape and it's pretty simple to watch this guy, you know, bend his knees and move his feet and stay in front of people. You know, really just a high-end left. Like I said, he's a slam dunk left tackle athlete. Now the question is going to be, does he have long enough arms to survive out there? I think he does, just because of his patience and his reactiveness out there. But that's going to be a question, you know. But I'm sure they'll start him out there. And if you don't, then you've got a Pro Bowl level guard. So yeah, man, he was a really good player. I compared him to Matthew Bergeron last year, the Atlanta Falcons, who started all 17. And that brings back another point. I saw there was a guy online pulled up a really cool stat that there's only been, in the last 5 years, there've been 30 offensive linemen rookies that have started every game their rookie year. And we've had 21 of them. We've had 70% of those guys. So hopefully Jordan's the next. And I've made this point to Packer fans as well. I think another year removed from that ACL, you're going to have a better player next year on the field than you saw this fall at Arizona.
Yeah, I think that was one of the incredible things, is just how quickly he was ready to go right away last year at Arizona and just kind of bounce back right away. And sometimes you see with those guys with the ACL, they have a fall off. And like you said, I think he's going to be better that second year removed, as most players are. But there wasn't really that massive fall off from him, which was super impressive as well. He's an impressive player, and I can see why you guys wanted to get him in there so quickly at the Senior Bowl, and why Green Bay was so excited to take him in round one. Let's go to round two. Javon Bullard, you said long-term building block in the secondary. Tell me more about Bullard from your point of view.
Yeah, Bullard was one of the juniors we got in the game this year. You know, the juniors, this was a first year thing for us. We've been able to bring junior graduates in the past, but this was the first year where the NFL kind of opened up all the juniors to us. And Javon was one of the best ones we got. He's just, you can throw him and Evan Williams in the same category. Is, you know, sometimes I describe safeties, like the best way to sum them up is they're just good football players. And both those guys fall into that bucket. They're, you know, Javon's really instinctive guy, good versus the run, good versus the pass. He sees it well. He's really fooled. He puts himself in good positions. He's got a good trigger to go make plays. And then I think, you know, so he helped himself with a really good week down here. He was voted DB of the week by his teammates down here, the receivers and the quarterbacks that voted on him. And then he went to the combine and ran high 4.4s. You know, I think that there was some doubt with some people in the league, like how fast he was going to be. And then when you run a 4.47, that kind of alleviates all that doubt. But he certainly plays fast enough. I just think there was some concern maybe he wouldn't time as fast as he plays, which to me isn't really important. But I think at the end of the day, all these teams want to see a good number from Indy up there on the 40 time. So, yeah, man, he's a baller. He's gonna step right in. I don't want to speak for the Packers. This isn't coming from them. I just don't see a scenario where this guy's not ready to come in and start year one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the ability to potentially play there right next to Xavier McKinney is going to be so beneficial for him as well. And that, you know, potential tag team combo in the back end is going to be fun. And I know you've mentioned as well, potentially some slot versatility there, maybe Evan Williams kicking in the back. There's just going to be a ton of options that Jeff Hafley's going to have at his disposal. Well, we'll come back to Marshawn Lloyd in just a moment, but we'll just kind of sticking on the safety train here. Green Bay took two more safeties that also attended the Senior Bowl. Evan Williams, who I know you said teams were targeting right in that early fourth round period when the Packers traded up to get him, and then Ketan Oladapo, who's maybe somebody who could be a potential dime linebacker. Your thoughts on those two safeties?
Yeah, Evan's another guy that we have some background with. We were at the game. When he was at Fresno, they were on the road at USC, and we had a scout at that game where he got hurt. You know, and so then he goes back and transfers to Oregon, and again, he's just a good football player. It was all over the Fresno State tape, too. Now, it was nice to see him, you know, kind of ramp up in competition at Oregon, playing in the Pac-12 this year against some good quarterbacks, you know, that was tested there. But, he's a true free safety. You know, but he does have enough substance. He'll get down in the box and get dirty. He's not afraid. Like, he likes to run alleys and shoot his shot and light people up when he can. But he just sees it really well from depth. That showed up in the Senior Bowl game. He made a hell of a range play on the deep part of the field on a pick where he closed a ton of ground on a Joe Milton throw. So he's got ball skills back there. He's got instincts. He's got range. That's why I'm saying, like, if you get into some sub package stuff, you could roll Bullard up into the slot, play him in the nickel, and then, you know, bring Evan in the game and play him back there from depth and have a really cool really cool players at both spots. So he gives them versatility, really mature kid, high football character guy, coaches at Fresno and Oregon, love this guy. When we invited him at Oregon, I mean, my phone lit up from like three or four coaches at Oregon fired up that we brought him. So, and again, really smart. That was, you know, one of the underrated things, you know, that GMs and front offices have to navigate is like knowing where other teams have players. So the fact that they were dialed into that, because I trust me, I'd heard it from a lot of scouts from other teams that they liked Evan Williams in the fourth round, kind of early day three. Credit the Packers for having that knowledge and moving up and going, being aggressive and going to get him.
Yeah, I love that as well. And then Catano Adapo, another safety in the fifth round. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, different package than the other two guys. I mean, this is a big, good-looking dude. I'm sure Packers fans watching this guy walk from Lambeau over to the practice field in his pads when camp starts. I mean, this is a really good-looking sucker. And he's more of a strong safety. He's not going to give you that position flexibility those other guys do. You know, I mean, this guy to me is a strong safety. But I've brought it up before. I do think with his size, I mean, I would really be interested in what he would look like as a dime linebacker, covering tight ends. You know, I think you're dealing with a better baseline athlete with Oladapo than you would be most true off the ball linebackers. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Again, that's not coming from the Packers. That's kind of what I see when I see the player. But yeah, he's going to be an immediate factor on special teams. I mean, he will run and hit. He's physical. He's built to be physical. I mean, his body is built to be a physical player. So that's what he's going to bring, man. And, you know, to me, if you get anything beyond special teams, it's gravy in the fifth round. And I think we know he's going to be that. He's going to be a good player on fourth down.
Yeah, I think so too. And I agree with you. I think some of his ability to cover tight ends is going to be something that he has the ability to do, especially maybe in a dime or nickel linebacker position. And they've done that some in the past. Raven Green, Tariq Carpenter, and Josh Jones, they've tried that with kind of playing safeties at linebacker. So we'll see maybe if Oladapo gets that opportunity in Green Bay as well. Let's go back to the offensive side of the ball. Marshawn Lloyd, I know you labeled him as the best running back in the draft. Really fun, explosive player. Your thoughts on Lloyd?
Yeah. That was my opinion, and that has nothing to do with him being in the Senior Bowl and being our top running back drafted on. Like, it really doesn't. He was a really fun study, man, going back to really early in the year. Now, it wasn't great competition. It was Reno, it was, you know, Nevada and a couple other smaller school games, but he made some I need to edit myself here, Andy. He made some holy cow cuts. And again, it doesn't matter who you're playing against when you see a guy cut like that. I mean, he's got unbelievable lateral burst and vertical burst. I mean, you can see this guy get through the hole, but when he gets in the hole and he has to transition laterally, I mean, it is impressive. It makes you rewind the tape for sure. And then he's really dangerous in space. You know, I mean, there were some clips. I think I posted a thread of this early in the fall on Twitter, but they ran him up the seam, and his ability to track the ball down the field, especially from the seam, I mean, it was almost like a straight over the shoulder track. Not so much, you know, we see, you know, guys flare out of the backfield and swing it to him. But this was more like right down the seam, like straight over the shoulder. It was, for a running back, really impressive stuff. It's hard to find guys that can do that. And then when he gets in space, he's super dangerous. So I've read some of the comments. I've seen some of the comments coming out of rookie minicamp. And to me, you usually don't hear teams talk about guys like that early on. You know, you're trying not to pump these rookies' heads up too much. But they obviously like what they see based off their reaction off that rookie minicamp. And that doesn't surprise me. That's going to be a heck of a, you know, 1-2 punch with he and Josh Jacobs.
Hey, friends. Playoff time is the best time to join the Prize Picks community that already boasts over 5 million members. There is no lack of action. We are in full playoff mode in both the NBA and the NHL. Baseball season is just heating up as we head into summer. And don't forget, we have the much anticipated debut of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA this week as well. Whatever it is that gets you excited, Prize Picks has a plethora of picks to add to your excitement and make all the action that much more enjoyable. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the easiest, most fun, and most enjoyable way to not only enjoy the games, but to win up to 100 times my money. With the right pick, you could turn $10 into $1,000 by using the Prize Picks app. Their enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. This week, of course, I'm going with Caitlin Clark. I'm also going with Anthony Edwards, and I got to go with Oshkosh's own Tyrese Halliburton as well. The best part is there are tons of options, and whoever it is that you want to go with, there are a ton of ways to enjoy the Prize Picks app. And as always, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I was there at rookie mini camps for the 2 days that were open to the media, and it doesn't take long to recognize what he's capable of, and seeing some of that explosive ability, really, you know, compact build too. He's not a small back. Usually you get some of those guys that are super speedy and maybe they're a little bit more lean. He's got great size, just a really fun blend. And I think he's going to fit in very well with that offense. You mentioned too, that over the shoulder, he's in 2022, he's got they're in pony personnel, and there's a play action fake on the other side. He goes right up on kind of like a wheel route, and again, catches it right over the shoulder. That might be the one you're talking about, but just that ability is really, really fun. And I think Matt LaFleur is going to find ways to use him as a mismatch piece as well, which is super exciting with he and Jacobs potentially on the field at the same time. Let's stick on the offensive side. Travis Glover, he was a late addition, if I remember correctly, to the Senior Bowl week, but he came in and acquitted himself well. What did you see out of Glover?
Yeah, we were lucky to get him. He was our only in-week addition this year. You know, we kind of padded our numbers this year to get through game week. We've had some roster attrition the last couple of years with guys opting out of playing in the game, which is that's a whole another conversation. But no, we were lucky that Glove was on the street, man. I thought he would have been at another All-Star game. You know, he had a really good Hula Bowl week, and he, you know, you want to say he's a raw player. I was a little worried about him coming in and just getting with the speed of things. We threw him in there Wednesday practice and Thursday practice, and he was really good, man. I mean, he looked like he belonged. And you know, he's super long. Now you've had a chance to see him. He's a big, good looking sucker. You know, he's played on the left side, so I think he's going to be able to do that. I think he's probably a better fit on the right side as a pro. But, you know, you took him in the sixth round, if I believe, and that, you know, if you could get a swing tackle in the sixth round, most teams usually start targeting that guy in the fourth round. If you could get him in the sixth round, that's incredible value. And I think Glove's best football is still ahead of him. I just think it was really cool to see a guy that had come from the Hula Bowl and then shows up in Mobile against some really good pass rushers. I mean, the guys that were top 50, top 75 draft picks, and he didn't blink, man. So, which tells me like there's some innate confidence to this kid that you need to play tackle at that level. And he's got it. So that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, you love to see the competitive juice there. And like you said, swing tackle, late sixth round. They've had some, you know, opportunities too. A guy like Yash Nyman, who wasn't even drafted as a UDFA, that they develop into that role. So hopefully Travis Glover can kind of follow that path line in Green Bay. Let's talk about Michael Pratt, quarterback. You said the biggest surprise fall in the entire draft. Some teams had third, fourth round grades on him. First of all, your thoughts, and then maybe why, you know, he potentially fell to that seventh round.
Well, I'll start with your last question. I don't know. I got to start making some calls and figuring that out. I try to do that. You know, we try to do our homework on the back end and figure out why some guys we invited didn't get drafted. And again, sometimes it's like most of the time it's combine testing, which knocks them out of the draft. They don't test as well as people want them to. They're good football players or they wouldn't have been invited to our game. But, you know, and sometimes it's some mental stuff we don't know about. Sometimes it's injury stuff we don't know about. So I'll have to figure it out with Pratt. But, you know, just going through the fall, and again, it's a really collaborative process with us and teams, and there's a lot of grade sharing going on, and teams are really open with us. Like, I was shocked he got out of the fourth round. I really was. Like, to me, he and Rattler were the two guys in this class that I thought, beyond the first six that went in the top 12, I thought Pratt and Rattler were the two guys that have a chance to be starters in the league. So, yeah, man, he elevated that Tulane program. I've seen him play a bunch. I was at the first game of the year. I think he was 14 of 15 for 300 and something, four touchdowns, no picks against South Alabama, you know, a 10-win South Alabama football team coming off the year before. So that was really a big game. I thought it was the best group of five game of the year on the schedule going into last year. So, you know, and then just spending time around Michael. I mean, he's got leadership ability. He's got presence. I mean, you'll see that when you get around him. He's got some charisma to him. So, I just love guys that raise the program, and he certainly lifted that Tulane program to heights that they hadn't been at in program history, beating Caleb Williams in the Cotton Bowl 2 years ago. So, yeah, man. I mean, I think we'll see what happens and how it all shakes out. But obviously, Jordan Love is the long term answer there. I think at minimum, Michael Pratt has a chance to be one of those backups that if Jordan goes down for, you know, a 4-game stretch in the middle of the year, you can win 2 or 3 games with them, no problem. So, in the 7th round, it was a shocker. It was certainly the shock of the draft for me.
Yeah, I just did a deep dive on him, and I'm so glad that you brought up that South Alabama game in week one, or his first game last year. That was such a fun game to watch. He was just on fire. Fundamentals, technique, touch on the pass. It was just a beautiful, beautiful performance. And that was one of the first games I watched, and I'm like, this is a 7th rounder. And then obviously not every other game played exactly like that one, but that was an incredible game to watch and a really, really fun tape from him. Let's wrap things up here from the draft standpoint with Kalen King. I know in 2022, you mentioned he had, you know, day 2 tape, falls all the way to the very, very end of the 7th round, partially due to combine testing, his 2023 tape not being quite as well. But your thoughts on Kalen King?
Yeah, I think it's all going to come down to confidence with Kalen. I think he's got it in his body. We saw that in 2022. You know, he was playing opposite Joey Porter, so teams went after him that year. And I think he was able to build confidence early in the year, making plays. And it just kind of, you know, that's you got to be confident to play in that league at every position. But to me, quarterback and corner, it's critical. It's essential. And he had it. He had it that sophomore year. And then this year they kind of went away from him, so he wasn't getting tested as much. And he didn't look like the same guy. Right. And then, they need to rebuild that, if you will. But the physical talent is there. And we saw Jaden Reed. I saw Jaden Reed put out a tweet on draft night, like, this guy's not a 7th rounder, something to that effect, you know, and he played against him. I mean, players know players better than anybody. So if Jaden Reed was covered by this guy 2 years ago and he struggled with him and thought he was a good player, that should tell Packers fans something. Who knows? I mean, he was a great guy down here behind the scenes during the Senior Bowl, high character guy, competed really hard throughout the week. And I just hope this coaching staff up there can push the right buttons and get his head in the right place going into camp. And if they do, to me, you at minimum have a 3rd or 4th corner based off his ability, maybe a number 2 corner. And again, in the 7th round, that could end up looking like a steal 3 years down the road. So we'll see. But I put this one a lot on the Packers coaching staff to see if they can get that out of them.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I just actually watched that tape and posted a couple of those clips of Jaden Reed versus Kalen King yesterday. King got him on one easily, broke up a pass. Reed got him on one. And then there's another where maybe there's a little pass interference. I know Jaden Reed wanted it. I don't think Kalen King did. No pass interference on the play. But it was a very, very fun matchup between those two. They were going back and forth, and it's just really fun tape to watch. Just really quick, couple last ones before we get you out of here. I know Adrian Cooper, Tyron Hopper, and Jacob Monk were not at the Senior Bowl, but I know you watch a lot of these guys. Any quick thoughts on any of those 3 draft picks for Green Bay?
Yeah, we love Cooper, man. It was a bummer we couldn't get him. His agent, you know, said he was injured, so that's what it was. And we don't bring injured guys to the Senior Bowl. So I thought he played like a mid-round pick the first month of the year, and then something clicked. You know, I heard I was watching a game on a Saturday. It was one of the rare Saturdays I was home, and I heard the TV staff crediting DJ Durkin, their defensive coordinator, who's now at Auburn, about, you know, they had a sit down. I don't know, some come to Jesus talk or something, but I mean, he cut it loose from that point on the rest of the year, and you saw a different football player playing with a lot more urgency and recklessness. And the closing speed is absolutely real with this dude. He's got a high, high ceiling. So we loved Edgerrin Cooper. Would have loved to have him here. Monk was a guy that, again, really good football player. To me, he's a center, you know, more center than guard. Really high intangibles guy. Coach Cutcliffe, who recruited him there to Duke. We had Coach Cutcliffe down here to do a Senior Bowl event in the fall. And this is one of his favorite guys he's ever coached. He loves Jacob Monk. So, you know, we had him. We had like a mid-round grade, like kind of where they took him, but he kind of fell below some of the other guys we had brought, but we certainly liked him. And then who was the other guy?
Tyron Hopper.
Yeah, so Hopper's a guy we had committed to come play to the game. you know, fell out sometime in January. I don't know what that was about. I think it was something injury related. Certainly thought he could have benefited from a week here, but again, really good closing speed. Best thing he does is blitz, in my opinion. But a run and hit linebacker that should, you know, kind of fits that speed profile they're looking for. That if he's not a starter, he should be a badass on special teams with his speed and physicality. But he's a guy that we saw get better and better, you know, going back to his time at Florida. We thought he was an ascending player. So certainly liked him enough to invite him and just didn't end up with him down here. But we thought he was a good player.
Yeah, obviously lots to like about this Packers draft class. Jim, I know how insanely busy you are. I know you're watching some quarterbacks today. Tell anyone else, you know, what you're working on. I know obviously everyone can follow you on Twitter at @JimNagy_SB. But anything else you want to plug on your way out?
Oh, man, not really. Just follow us, you know, during the summer. I feel like we put out some unique content, year-round draft content. We're going to be on these guys, you know. I got to start watching the tape first, but our crew has them graded. I got to start watching them so I know what I'm talking about when I post stuff. But yeah, you know, and then we'll do our small school Saturday stuff, which we've done the last 5 years, which has been really popular, kind of targeting some of the sub FBS players. That's kind of a staple of what we do over the summertime. And yeah, we're getting ready to get it all cranked up. I'm getting ready to watch couple quarterbacks out here right now. Riley Leonard from Notre Dame's out here throwing it around, and I got to speak to an offensive line camp here in about an hour. So, but fun stuff. The off season's a lot of fun, man. It's fun getting out and seeing these guys before the year starts, and connecting with them a little bit, recruiting them a little bit, and yeah, looking forward to getting back up to God's country in Northern Michigan later this summer. Kind of very similar to Door County is where I grew up over in Michigan in the pinky of Michigan. So can't wait to get back up there.
Well, you enjoy that. I'm not going to take any more of your time. I know you got some quarterbacks to watch and some, all of that stuff that you're doing out there with the offensive line group as well. So enjoy the heck out of that. Congratulations on all the success with the Senior Bowl and all the amazing work that you're doing. Go follow him at @JimNagy_SB. That's going to do it for us today, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.